your self-respect, your manly pride. Get yourself in gear, keep your stride. Never mind your fears. What a day for Sylvia. Take it from me. Someday we'll all be free.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Clinton Street Theater's virtual screening of The Last Tree. The Last Tree follows a British boy of Nigerian descent who becomes reunited with his biological mother. The film explores his struggle with the unfamiliar culture and values while learning what it means to be a young black man in London. Again, that's the Clinton Street Theater's virtual screening of The Last Tree. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Today we bring you part three of Brother Pete Seda's book, Islam Is, read by Sister Aisha Lorenzo Said.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM, and translator K282BH in Philomath at 104.3 FM. And we're streaming at the top of our lungs on www.kboo.fm. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, my name is Gary, and I'm the program host for KBOO Radio's Swingin' Country program, and I'm asking for your help. I'm not asking for your money, or your vote, or your email address. I'm asking you to sing. I don't have to tell you times are tough. The coronavirus, unemployment, protests in the street, the airwaves are filled with angry sound bites. There seems to be little common ground we can stand on. What can I do about it? A disc jockey who plays songs about drinking and cheating. I do the only thing I can do. Organize a sing-along. Tune in to KBOO.FM Saturday, August 15th at 8:30 a.m. Pacific Time and sing along to Hey, Won't You Play Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song. Spread the words to your neighbors, to your friends and family, even to your enemies. Tell them to tune in and sing along for 3 minutes. Our goal is to have a billion people around the globe singing in harmony. Once again, that's Saturday, August 15th, 8:30 a.m. on KBOO.FM or 90.7 FM here in Portland.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Today we bring you part three of Brother Pete Seda's book, Islam Is, read by Sister Aisha Lorenzo Said.
Good morning. I'm your host, Omar Shabazz, and welcome to our new programming, From Dust to Industry, a new broadcast that is airing here where Pathways normally broadcast. If you've tuned in for Pathways, Pathways will be aired next week at its regular time and every 2 weeks after this. Our new program, From Dust to Industry, will broadcast this week and 2 weeks from today's date. With the introduction of the Muslim Community Center of Portland into the historical content of the Oregon Historical Society, we wanted to introduce our audience to a historical background of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and how it has grown from being the first established Islamic community in Portland to a community that now shares the distinction with at least 10 other emerging Muslim communities here in this area and throughout the state, including Vancouver, Washington. We would like to talk a little bit about the conditions of the African American after the First World War and some of the leaders who emerged to help them to establish themselves as part of the community. We'll be including Noble Drew Ali from 1914 until today. His followers appeared in America with a self-help pull yourself up by the bootstraps program, and they are known as sovereigns today of the country of Morocco. He was followed by Marcus Garvey from 1921 to approximately 1926, but in that time he had been sent to prison. He had begun the Universal Negro Improvement Association, which was a back to Africa and also with a movement of back to Jamaica. He was deported back to Jamaica in the late 20s. In 1930, a man appeared on the scene from the East teaching the message of Islam. One of his students was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who began the temples of Islam, which soon became the Nation of Islam. And this organization survived from 1933 until his death in 1975. Too many know too little or are greatly misinformed about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's many contributions. A migrant worker with a third grade education, Mr. Muhammad, a soft-spoken man of small stature, popularized Islamic terminology such as Allah, Islam, Quran, Muhammad, and mosque in America. Over time, his message resonated with hundreds of thousands of black people who had been stereotyped as worthless and inhuman and stripped of their language, their culture, and their religion. These conditions provided the backdrop for the reformative miracles performed by Mr. Muhammad through his methods and teachings, which were clearly effective during his leadership. Some of the outstanding leaders who were members of the Nation of Islam, many of them you know from the history of the African American. First of all, we have Malcolm X, known as Malcolm Little, who transformed from a street gangster and petty thug into a giant in establishing the religion of the Nation of Islam here in America, and introduced the newspaper, The Muhammad Speaks, as a method of using the language in order to entice or to inform the African American people. One of his disciples, as well as a disciple of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, known all over the world, Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champion of the world, the three-time heavyweight champion of the world, and a standout soldier of great discipline in refusing to be drafted, and gave up his heavyweight crown as a result of not entering into the draft. And of course, we cannot leave off the star of them all, Imam W.D. Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad may be as little known to the American public as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He led the first African-American delegation to visit Mecca for pilgrimage as guest of the government of Saudi Arabia shortly after he assumed the leadership of the Nation of Islam and changed its name to the World Community of Islam in the West. This was the first time that Muslim Americans had been shown to the world in the pilgrimage of 1977, and they were guests the next two following years before Imam Muhammad decided that we would be like Muslims the rest of the world over, and if Hajj was in our destiny, then we were to strive for Hajj in the best of the effort, as everyone who are Muslims who desire to go to the Hajj. He convened the first religious convention of Muslims, Christians, and Jews in Philadelphia, including the infamous Jim Jones. He was the first African-American Muslim to hold a position of president of World Religious Congress, and a position that he held for 2 years that convened around the world. He also served as an ad hoc ambassador to the Middle East to help bring about peaceful solutions in the Middle East for over 20 years. And I must admit that he was a visitor to this city in 2006. And we were so greatly honored that his presence was felt in the reception that he received from leaders and clergy from across the broad spectrum of this community. With that, the Zaytuna College of Berkeley, California, the first accredited higher learning institution in the United States, did an academic examination of Elijah Muhammad's contribution to the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. It is quite a historical gathering that the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his son, Imam Warf D. Muhammad, was able to do this together. We hope that you enjoy this presentation.
So the first question we want to begin with is the question that's asked in the statement that was listed in the program about what was in Mr. Muhammad's message that attracted and reformed thousands of disenfranchised black people, enabling them to become productive and responsible citizens, and is the message relevant today?
Starting with...
So Imam Hassan, you will begin your 10-minute opening statement.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the guardian evolver of his creation, and I witness that there is no God but Allah, and I witness that Muhammad is his messenger and last prophet. And when we say Muhammad, we're always referring to the one named Muhammad to whom the Holy Quran was revealed. Allah refers to him as the Khatamun Nabiyyin. The Khatamun Nabiyyin. The seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, the conclusion of the prophets. The Holy Quran describes him as such, the last of the prophet, the seal of the prophet that left us the book of Allah, which is our holy book, the Quran, and his Sunnah, which translated in the original text of Sunnah was his way, his tradition, the things that he said, the things that he did during his lifetime. And he said in that statement that he left those things, those two, that if we follow them, we will not go astray. We will not end up in the wrong direction. We would not end up in a difficult place. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us that when Mr. W.D. Farad came to America, he brought 104 books. The most important book of all of the 104 was the Holy Quran. And this is a book that he read often, and he read conscientiously, and he read seriously. And you can tell by that more in private than you can in public. Because in our public meeting, in our private meetings with him in his home over dinner, the same concept that was read in the Quran is the concept that he spoke of, which helped us to understand that we were on an evolutionary path toward universal Islam. So I feel it necessary to bring to your attention some of the clarifications that are necessary to understand what the speakers that are coming after me is going to say, and the references that they're going to use, and what it is being directed towards. For some people get a misunderstanding. I am responsible to Allah for what I say, what I know, and what I say. And you are responsible to Allah for likewise. When Mr. Debbie D. Farad came to this country, there were already Muslims here. There were Yemenis here. There were Syrians here. There were people from other countries here. But they did not want to associate with us or deal with us. We never heard from them in our part of the city. We never even knew they were there. So there were no help to us at all. When Mr. Debbie D. Farad came, he came by himself. This is why I referred to him as Mr. Debbie D. Farad, though he had other names. I like Mr. Debbie D. Farad and what it means. He came, and he came by himself with one intention: to help the downtrodden people in the ghettos of America. And he was here before the announced date of his appearance, which was July 4th, 1930. He was here before that, for he studied Marcus Garvey movement. He studied Noble Drew Ali, the Honorable Noble Drew Ali's movement. And he also studied the movement of Father Divine. And he studied the people in these parts of the city until he devised a plan of how to bring Islam to them in a way that would be rudimentary, but in a way that will allow them to grow and develop and come into the light like a child coming into the world. For when he found us, as you well know, we had no respect. There was no love in the country for us except from each other. There were no help. We were drinkers and smokers and gamblers and robbers. We had a lot of problems when he came. We were eating pork, every part of the pig that you can remember. And as my father said, when my mother introduced the religion of Islam to the family, and that we were no longer going to eat pork meat, my father couldn't go along with that. He never joined anything. My mother was a Marcus Garveyite. In fact, she marched in the parades of Philadelphia while carrying me as a baby. Then, moving to Connecticut, this was in Philadelphia. We lived in New Jersey, where I was born, but moving to Connecticut, Marcus Garvey movement was not in existence there, so she joined the Moorish American movement in 1942 and enrolled me in the Moorish American Sunday School program at 11 years old. So we came up through those, I would say, activist organizations, but my father never joined any of them. But he never denied my mother the right to join whatever she wanted to. And she brought that knowledge into the family, and she raised us on Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Noble Drew Ali, and his message, until one night in Hartford, Connecticut, the Moorish American Sheikh invited a man from New York, a young man from New York, as a guest speaker. That young man turned out to be Minister Malcolm X. That was in 1955. In 1955, we did not attend the temple. Her family didn't. They were. My mother had talked so much and had said so much that we didn't know whether she was all there or whether she was going off. Because those things we had never heard before, not even in the Marcus Garvey movement. But she went to the Muslim convention. It wasn't called Muslim convention then. It was called Muslim convention. She went to the convention in Chicago in 1956, the Muslim convention. I have books that we used to sell with the Muslim temple, with the Muslim convention names on them. So what I'm saying is actual facts. Clarification, not interpretations, but clarification. The community of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at that time was not called the Nation of Islam. We did not join the Nation of Islam. We joined the temple, the Muhammad's temple in wherever city we lived. When we wrote our letter for acceptance, it wasn't to the Nation of Islam, it was to the temple. We were known as the lost found members of the Nation of Islam. I hear some people today say, not here, but that the whole world of Muslim name were the Nation of Islam. That's true. But they did not say that in writing, in their newspapers, or in conversations, that they were the Nation of Islam. We didn't say it either. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we were taught that we were the lost found members of the Nation of Islam. As Mr. W.D. Farad said, that we came from a particular tribe in Africa, most of us, called the tribe of Shabazz. So we were the lost found members of the Nation of Islam from the tribe of Shabazz. That's our full title. That Nation of Islam usage is a misnomer. It is a change from the original. And people just simply say now, as a shortcut, the Nation of Islam. But what were we called and what were we told to do? We were told to go out into the cities, into the neighborhoods where we live, and bring who? Lost founds to the temple meeting. Lost founds. We were Muslims, yes, but we were lost. Lost here in the wilderness of North America. Lost here. When Mr. Farad left, he left the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in charge, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's mission was to build a community or a nation of these lost found members of the tribe of Shabazz, because he was leaving, and he left the building of it to him. So what we represent is the result of that construction, that building, that growth, that development. We represent that. And believe me, the representation by those members in the 50s was so strong and so sincere. From 10 temples, which was the number when I came into the community in 1956, 10 number temples was all we had. But by 1965, with the incursion of the young people from the 50s and the early 60s, the total numbers, registered numbers of the temple was 42. In 9 years, we went from 10 temples to 42 temples. Why? Because those people that came in then had two things that was on their hearts and minds. First of all, faith. They believed in the faith that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was pointing us to, and that faith required action. What good is saying that I am of this faith if we are not actively working in that faith to allow that faith to be not only our faith, but the faith of our family and our extended family? He taught us to speak the language of the people, to dress like the people, to look like the people. He reminded us of something that was read one time. He said, if you went fishing, what would you take as a bait to catch a fish? Would you take strawberry shortcakes and put on your hook, or will you take what the fish like? So he said, go out there and speak the language of your people and bring your people to the temple. What was the temple? He explained what the temple was, and we have it there with us. So my 10 minutes is up. I see Sister Fitcher on the move, and I love Sister Fitcher, and I appreciate what she did to bring this all together. But given a history in 10 minutes is like trying to build a rocket to the moon in a day. takes a longer time. But the people that is coming after you, they will show beyond a shadow of a doubt that the main man in this growth and development was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Look, we hear Malcolm name mentioned first. I just say this and I'm gone. She said Malcolm name first. Malcolm is a product of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad first heard of him, he was in prison in Massachusetts. And the message got to him of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was trying to do when Malcolm came out of the prison. Before he came out of the prison, he was Malcolm Little. By the time he came out of the prison, he was Malcolm X. Who was giving out X's? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Isaiah Kareem, James Shabazz, Dr. Abdul Salam, all of these were flames of fire. And they took hold in the 50s and the 60s and increased the number of the membership of the community to 42 number temples. So we're proud of these men whose shoulders we stood on. And if we're gonna equal or compete or add on or continue on in the spirit that they have, then we have to get out there with our faith and also with our action to prove that we have not disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
We have not gone anywhere.
That's right.
We're still here. What caused us to be so successful? Newspaper. The Muhammad Speaks newspaper caused us to be successful. So we have that. And we're thankful to Allah for it. We're thankful to Allah for all these people.
Love
and
you,
I see you, ma'am, coming to get me, trying to pull me off of here.
We love you, brother.
But I'm coming. Allahu Akbar. Thank you very much.
We're going to bring you. We're going to bring you back and just hear from you.
That concludes this segment. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to tune in to our second segment on the 26th of July. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. That's all for this week's segment, and we hope you have enjoyed this program today. We want to thank you for listening, and don't forget to tune in August 9th for our third broadcast of From Dust to Industry. I'm your host, Omar Shabazz. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum. That is, peace be unto you.
Softly you come. Beckon my every step.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM online.
This is KBOO Portland. We have an hour of country music ahead for you, starting with Jerry Reed's Guitar Man.